a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hello, and welcome aboard. Gallant and George. It is Monday, January 20th of 2025. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day. We hope that you are staying warm and safe as it gets very, very cold here in H-Town. I look like a character from South Park right now. I've got a poofy hat on. I've got an elaborate, oversized Eddie Bauer coat that I don't think I've worn in over a decade. I am bundled up, and I am ready to do the next 3 hours of radio, Joe, assuming that the low temperatures in the city don't kill the power to our station, which does occasionally happen.
It does occasionally happen. I think we'll be okay today. We'll see how tomorrow goes when we're all doing shows from home. But I think we'll be okay today. It's just another Monday.
It's just another Monday.
You know, 6 inches of snow or 4 inches of snow on the way.
Yeah, I saw that. Seven.
Whatever. A typical day.
I mean, it's above average. You know, 7 inches, that's above average.
You're right.
This Enzo fella, Winter Storm Enzo.
He sucks.
He's something else. All right, we got to rip the Band-Aid off. We got to talk about it. I'm angry today. I'm angry about specific people who have it out for us. Higher powers. Because it's ridiculous. And you guys all know what I'm talking about. It is ridiculous that I am working on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I feel racist. Joe, Mr. Middle Management.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
We're starting off the week strong. We're checking the box. It has been less than 0 days since Paul implied Joe was racist.
You're right.
Joe, why am I working today?
Because you're a company man, Paul. You believe in the company. Okay. Team player, Paul.
Okay, fine. But let's be honest here. You know, that's just a joke. I can't believe how unprepared this city is. You know, you got a big spot. And when you're in a big spot, you have to be able to take care of the little things and the big things. And got to say, I'm very disappointed with how unprepared Houston is for Winter Storm Enzo.
Take care of the big things, like having snowplows?
Yeah.
Might be something you want in your arsenal?
I'm surprised that the extra property tax dollars that Lena Hidalgo got through emergency, he said in quotation marks, didn't raise enough for snowplows. But,
or salt.
Right. Unprepared.
Unprepared
in a big spot. But I'm kidding. I'm just filibustering what we are eventually going to talk about. Okay? It sucks to feel cheated. It sucks when the game feels rigged. And I mean, this weekend, did it not feel rigged? Because not only did the Los Angeles Dodgers sign Roky Sasaki, they also signed some other guy.
Tanner Scott.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Baseball, rigged.
Dead.
You know what's kind of funny, Joe? I saw a couple of people online that were saying, you know what? The Astros were justified in cheating.
I saw that. The Astros were justified. The Astros were right.
All it took was the Dodgers literally just saying, screw it. We're going to spend as much money as we possibly can in the offseason.
And then also a lot of this is the Astros' fault for beating the Dodgers.
Yeah.
For not letting the Dodgers win in 2017.
Right.
That this all goes back to trash cans. Because of those trash cans, the Astros have, again, ruined the sanctity of America's pastime.
But now it's fine.
Now it's fine.
Now it's fine.
And now it's fine.
It's truly come full circle. Never thought I'd see the day that people are like, you know what? Screw the Dodgers. We're glad the Astros cheated in 2017.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Although, I mean, they did. Other teams were
like
too.
A more than
really,
a
all we've got is other teams were. But I know. Listen, I do have to rip the Band-Aid off. And I mean, there was a missed opportunity for a Houston sports team that we saw and had to sit there like former Buffalo Bills Stephon Diggs did once during the AFC Championship game. We had to sit there, and maybe Stephon Diggs was doing it again from a wheelchair because we saw Kyle Tucker introduced as a Chicago Cub.
Yeah.
Baby blue Cubs jersey, Joe. I didn't know that you guys had them.
They're brand new.
They look good.
They do look, they look good. Pretty sweet.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, missed opportunity for a Houston sports team there.
Yeah, just, you know, had to move on. And now he's not here, and they're going to miss him.
Right.
They missed out on today, Anthony Santander. Could have signed him.
Unbelievable.
Instead, you're stuck with Chaz, Jake, and Dubon in the outfield.
Exactly.
It's only a five-year, $90 million deal.
So hard to see a Houston sports team watch Kyle Tucker sign with another team. So hard to watch a Houston sports team miss an opportunity with Anthony Santander, of course, signing with the Toronto Blue Jays. It's time to rip the Band-Aid off, though. You know, we got to talk about it. Coming up next, the Rockets. They play a basketball game today. Pre-game show leading up to 1 o'clock. It's Galata, George, ESPN, 97.5, 92.5. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We got to stop doing this.
I think you just gave Sean a heart attack.
We got to stop doing this, okay?
You want to talk about the Rockets game that tips off in 51 minutes? It's the Pistons.
It's a big game. Pistons are good this year.
Brother against brother.
Yeah. It's a men versus Sar.
Mm-hmm.
The battle of the twins.
Yeah, one versus two from the whatever draft that was. Jalen Green, Kate right. Cunningham.
Yeah.
Storylines abound.
But look, we got to talk about it. I mean, it's probably the biggest thing going on this weekend. President Donald Trump is about to be inaugurated.
I thought you were going
to
talk about TikTok being banned for 24 hours.
That was what I was going to go to next.
I mean, back! They're related.
They are. They're connected.
They are. They are related. W, baby.
45 saves the day.
Wait, is he 45?
He's 45 and 47.
45 and 47.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. Yeah.
I wasn't sure if he's still 45.
Yeah, I wasn't sure like, if we went backwards. I don't know how it worked. So 47 saves the day.
I think there's a guy back in the 1800s that did this too.
That's true.
Chester A. Arthur? Question mark?
Grover Cleveland, I think.
Grover Cleveland.
1900s.
Same thing.
1900s. Whatever. I think it was the 1900s.
Close. You were close.
Anyway.
Let's talk more about
Grover Cleveland.
Late 19th century, early 20th century president.
Well, listen, there's a conspiracy out there, and we're finally going to get to the bottom of it. And on a day like today, I think it's great. Because President Trump said that we are going to look into the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. and JFK and RFK. Huge. Biggest conspiracy over the weekend when it comes to Houston and specifically sports here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Houston's independent voice for sports. Is that it?
I think so.
I mean,
Joe, Notre Dame!
The hat you're right. wearing.
Come Joe, on. Big game tonight.
No, Notre Dame plays tonight.
He's got his Notre Dame hat
I
on.
I found it. All right, shocked the world.
Can I ask where it was?
No, my wife found it.
Oh, okay.
So I still don't know where he had hit it, but
she's trying.
She said I found it, and I was like, oh.
Week.
She's defending your son.
Yeah, well, someone has to. It's not going to be me, apparently.
You're throwing him under the bus on the air every day, but deservedly, kind of.
Deservedly so. He's a monster. Yeah, look, we're going to shock the world tonight. The disrespect that I had to listen to sitting in the bullpen there for 2 hours to Sean and Dell just trashing Riley Leonard. Trying to compare him to that bum-ass Craig Krenzel, whatever his name was.
We asked if he won tonight, would he be the worst quarterback since Craig Krenzel?
No!
No, he wouldn't. There's Chris Leak and Matt Mock would be worse.
Yeah, Matt Mock, stuck. Didn't even remember who he was until you guys mentioned him. So tonight's the night where the country comes together and we root for the Golden Dome. Screw Ohio State.
I am a recovering Catholic, but I will be rooting for Notre Dame tonight. I will be rooting for the Golden Domers. I feel the same way, but we got to talk about it. There was a big screw-up in Houston this weekend. Massive screw up. Catastrophic consequences. I didn't wake up in time to go watch the girl I've been on a few dates with run the half marathon yesterday. Huge disaster. Huge mess up on my part.
Did you say you would?
I said I would try.
To be fair, it's really cold. It's really cold now.
Not in his bed, it
isn't. No, it wasn't. It was very warm in my bed.
Yeah. She asked why, just say, it's really warm in my bed.
Get this. Your boy averted a crisis.
Oh, okay.
Recovered.
Went out for post-marathon drinks and food with
her. Good, good.
Sneakily went up to the waitress and said, hey, whatever she's having, it's on me. Left to go do TV. Then we went back out to Boulevard in the Heights last night. And I have no idea how this girl has the energy to dance after running a half marathon for 13 miles. But holy crap. I felt very old watching this person who had just run 13 miles dance for a good, like, 3 hours. I joined in a couple of times, looked very white. It was fun. You might have seen me. I was wearing what I wore on TV out to Boulevard Market.
Yeah, I mean, Paul's on TV last night. Like, that should have been the headline.
That
of
was
the
my
show.
Flex coming in. I was like, yeah. I was just on TV.
Liz. As seen on TV.
Yeah, Paul Gallant, as seen on TV.
All right, we got to talk about it. You know what? Shout out to us. We filibustered for 13 minutes. Yeah. This is maybe the greatest filibuster we've ever done.
Gotta stay on the clock.
The Texans lost. So we'll talk about it on the other side. We're gonna give you 5 more minutes to collect yourself. Okay? Actually, I guess it's 3. But he's Joe. I'm Paul. Sean's behind the glass. We are the greatest radio show in Houston sports history because we didn't do what you didn't want us to do. That's a double negative. Forget about it. Stay put. ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
35-yard drive by Fairbairn. That's blocked. Reed got there off the edge. Kansas City's going to win this game.
That's how it was iced officially. A lot of things did in the Houston Texans on Saturday in their season-ending 23-14 loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. And, Joe, it was a bunch of things that we saw all season long. It was an offensive line that just struggled in protection. No matter what configuration they had of offensive linemen out there, all year long, they were giving up pressure. And in a game where I thought C.J. Stroud played very well, they got him sacked 8 times. You have a special teams unit that saw Kaimi Fairbairn miss a field goal on what was quite the slice. He missed an extra point when the Texans had tied the game up. Second time he's done that this year against the Chiefs. A field goal was blocked. You just heard that. And first play of the game, they allow a kick return to the 25. And Chris Boyd loses his effing mind and gets called for a 15-yard penalty there. And the Texans talk about those penalties, penalized 8 times for 82 yards. We've seen stuff like that just about every single game this year in some way, shape, or form. And we saw it on an extreme level Saturday night. To me, that's the biggest reason they lost.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is D'Amico has been telling us all year long about what they need to improve and that they can get better and stop with the penalties and stop beating the Texans need to stop beating the Texans. D'Amico said that so many times this year. And the Texans, the Chiefs were good, but the Texans beat themselves this weekend.
I think they beat themselves the first time around too.
Yeah.
Remember on Friday, we were going back through all of the moments in that first game where the Texans dropped the opportunity that was right in their lap. This is not a dominant Kansas City Chiefs team, but this is a Kansas City Chiefs team that doesn't make mistakes. James Palmer, who covers the NFL for Underdog and used to cover the Texans here in town for a while, said that when he was in the Texans locker room, that no player said that the referees were the main reason, and we'll talk about them, don't worry, that the Texans lost. but they did expect the Chiefs to make mistakes. You can't go into a game expecting the Chiefs to make mistakes. They don't do that. And you will do that because you have done that all season long and you have never learned from your mistakes. You've never self-corrected. So they talk about learning all year long, Joe, but where is the actual proof that they've learned if you're doing the same things on a weekly basis?
No, there's no. They didn't learn anything this season. They've been the same team from week one through the end of the year. I really, it's hard to see the end result of this game and think the Texans, like, anywhere besides at corner, and maybe that's just because we had low expectations for Kamari Lassiter, like, actually surpass expectations. Like, any position group, any player, like, it just really feels like everything was kind of status quo or below average throughout the entire season.
I mean, the pass rush.
I think we had pretty high expectations for them. Like, I feel like they met my high expectations.
They actually met them.
Yeah.
Honestly, you could argue they surpassed them because sure. I had questions about the interior defensive line, and they did a pretty good job this year. We'll see if everybody's back for next season. I thought the defense did, for the most part, play their ass off on Saturday. They obviously let Travis Kelce escape a few times, and that might be a byproduct of no Jalen Petrie, no Jimmy Ward, having Eric Murray out there, having Azeez Al-Shaair just not as good in coverage to the point where you can cover someone like Travis Kelce, because he was, I think, the guilty culprit on that 49-yard catch and run that Kelce had. But this really wasn't the defense's fault as much as it was an offense that continuously gets in its own way, that can't score in the red zone, that allows sacks on a routine basis, and a receiver core that, due to injuries, was pretty hamstrung out there. It was not a great start to the game for Xavier Hutchinson. It was a really rough game for poor Jared Wayne, who came in there and fell and had a drop. Metchie had a couple of nice plays. Schultz had a couple of nice plays, but not as a blocker. Things that you saw as a problem for this team all year long happened again. And I wanted to pick the Texans very badly on Friday, Joe, but this went about as I expected, where I thought they'd hang in there, but I thought eventually they would off themselves because that's just what they do. Hopefully that changes next year, but I mean, it's going to take a lot to change those things. It's changing personnel. We'll get into that later in the week. But when the same things happen on a weekly basis, you got to look at yourself in the mirror and you got to wonder, okay, well, why are they not learning from their mistakes? And I don't know the answer to that. I saw from BVB09 on YouTube at ESPN Houston, Paul, you said, what's D'Amico Ryan's ceiling before? I think we're seeing it. He's not good in the clutch when the game is on the line. I mean, that's a very subjective thing to say. And I know some people had some issues with his game management. I thought the defense was prepared, but there's something going on offensively where those little things do not get cleaned up. You can blame Bobby Slowick. You can blame the offensive line coaches. You can blame Stroud. You can blame everybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, whoever you're blaming, like, doesn't change the fact that every single week this team had moments offensively where they struggled, even when they were at full strength.
Yeah, even, like, if you want to, like, with D'Amico, you know, obviously it's idiotic that they didn't call timeout when there's 7 seconds left to go on a fourth down and they're still in the huddle and they're up to the line of scrimmage and Nico Collins looks like he's standing there waiting for a timeout to be called because he's barely in position when the ball is snapped and then CJ gets bull rushed again. But it's not D'Amico's fault. Now, he hired Bobby Slowick and the offensive line coach, but it's not on just D'Amico that your offensive coordinator and offensive line coach made the decision, you know, to have Dalton Schultz blocking, you know, George Karloftis by himself, in which you did this once this season against the Minnesota Vikings.
Cade Stover and Jonathan Grenard.
Like, so, I don't know, bad idea?
Yeah.
Leaving Blake Fisher, rookie second-round pick, on an island with Chris Jones?
You talk about learning from mistakes. Where's the learning from the mistakes there? Like, where's the self-correction? And, okay, maybe if they had Brevin Jordan this year, for those who don't know, Brevin Jordan's pretty good as a blocker as far as tight ends goes, and he's been out the whole season, but you're putting your tight ends in spots where you know they can't win. And to go back to, you know, what you're doing on the offensive line, they've been telling us that the offensive line got better the last couple of weeks with the alterations that they made due to the injury to Shaq Mason. We saw Shaq Mason was on the injury report this week. We saw Juice Scruggs was on the injury report this week. Both of them were active for Sunday's game. I was under the impression that just the way Scruggs has looked at that right guard spot and the way Mason has looked all year, which is to say poor at that position, I assumed that they would continue to roll with Juice Scruggs. Instead, they put in Shaq Mason, and as brought up by Battery Chucker on the Twitch at ESPN 975, Schultz and Mason can just stay in Kansas City. I'm sure they can find nice homes there.
Yeah, it's a weird decision. And not saying like Juice Scruggs solves all your problems, but
it was better with him for what it's worth.
Yeah, and but
eight sacks, the most pressure CJ Stroud's ever faced in his career, the second most pressures for any quarterback in NFL history since 2011, outside of Tim Tebow. I mean, we're really talking about a historic performance by the Chiefs pass rush. The Texans' offensive line played a role in that.
Yeah, and I don't quite understand the idea of not just starting Shaq Mason, Paul, but when you're seeing them just get bullied, why not make a change at halftime?
Change? Great.
Why not make a change in the fourth quarter?
Yep.
At any point in the game, like realizing, and now maybe I don't think we've seen anything about Juice Scruggs specifically. I haven't seen any clips about D'Amico talking about it or anything, but maybe he wasn't as healthy, even though he was active and it was truly a reserve spot for him. But if he's healthy enough to be active, then he should have at some point been inserted into this game to at least see if he would improve it. Because just try it. Mm-hmm. And all year long, I just feel like the Texans have been telling us that things are going to get better, and they lie to us and try to talk to us like we're stupid. Like when Kenyon Green, when D'Amico Ryans is being asked about Kenyon Green after six games into the season, and his response is that, well, we're 6-0 with Kenyon Green or whatever, or we have six wins with Kenyon Green at left guard, whatever it was. Like, okay, like stop pissing in my Cheerios. Like, it's just that's what they're doing. To tell us that the offensive line has looked better over the last couple weeks, to then go to Shaq Mason and for it to look this poor, well, then the only thing that I can assume right here is that you're either lying to us and assuming we're all stupid, or like you're lying to yourselves about what's happening in front of you.
At a podium, they lie all the time.
For sure.
So I don't know if that's them saying, hey, you're all stupid, but the latter part where you do wonder if they're just telling themselves, well, it's going to work because it has to work. But there has to be some sort of accountability for poor play, and guys do not get benched on this team as often as they probably should, and they get it. It's hard to find offensive linemen who can step in for any of these players, but there are a lot of offensive linemen that struggled this year, and you're talking about nearly $200 million in total salary if these contracts are all seen out to completion for the entirety of their offensive line, with Laremy Tunsil, with Titus Howard, with Shaq Mason, with Kenyon Green, a former first-round pick, with Blake Fisher, with Juice Scruggs, two second-round picks, amongst others. And, I mean, you find yourself in this spot because those guys, all year long, were screwing things up. After the game, interesting comments from a couple of Houston Texans. First off, here's D'Amico Ryans. You know what? I'm glad, counter to what you were saying a moment ago, Joe, that instead of looking at this game and saying, hey, we competed, we hung in there, D'Amico Ryans had this to say about going to Kansas City and playing well defensively but still losing.
Yeah, I'm walking out of here discouraged. Like, this one hurts, right? Because I know we're a better football team than we showed today, no matter who we're playing against. Like, to go back and still have to talk about mistakes that we made in this moment, like, yeah, it's discouraging to be here because we got to be over that at this point in the playoffs, right? Postseason football, you got to be at your best. You got to be operating on all cylinders. And for us, like, we didn't do that today. So that's what I'm just discouraged about for sure.
But even then, like, he says that they're a better football team. They're not. It's who you are. And I'm with you. I'm glad he is saying that, because they all should feel this way. They all should feel discouraged about this result. That you really outplayed the Chiefs for a majority of this football game, I would say. Like, I mean, I think for a lot of this game, the Texans were a better football team than the Chiefs.
Ooh. I mean, the final score is the final score. I can't go that far. Will Anderson said this too, and the people who are in Kansas City, this is not me trying to call you out, but whoever has the video or audio of Will Anderson saying this, I can't believe it wasn't posted. Matt Young in the Houston Chronicle is the only person who posted this full quote, because I couldn't find it, at least when I was looking on Twitter and X. And maybe it's there. But this is what Will Anderson said, and this kind of goes in with what you were saying, where, hey, the Texans were the better team. And I guess D'Amico was saying that in that. I hope he was talking about we're a better team than where we were earlier in the year. But whatever the case, this is Will Anderson after the game, and I could not find this anywhere. Be honest. Go back and watch the game. It's what I told y'all earlier this week. It was nothing they did. It was all us. Busted assignments. Out of place. We can't have that if we want to beat teams like this. Granted, they are a good team. Don't get me wrong. But I felt like we were the better team. But we shot ourselves in the foot again. We have to find some ways to get us over this hump and stop making the same mistakes over and over and over again. You are not the better team if you shoot yourselves in the foot. You're not.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's they were a better team for most of the game, not for all of the game. And I think that this quote is more like what Will Anderson's saying here is more about like the entire game. And because if you keep making these mistakes time and time again, like, you know, the Chiefs are not going to make these mistakes. Like, they are going to have a nearly perfect operation as a football team. They don't turn the ball over. They don't have a ton of penalties. Like, yes, whatever, their right tackle and left tackle jump off sides or a false starts in every single play and it does not get called. But the Texans, I mean, busted alignments. Like, this is training camp stuff. Like, what do you mean busted alignments? Like, that's what your defense is supposed to be, the pride of this team. So he's clearly talking about the defense there, out of place. How are you out of place at this point in the season? How do you have all these busted alignments happening at this point in the season? How is Travis Kelce getting wide open? Who is, I mean, he looks like he's walking. Like, him and Dalton Schultz both look like they're walking out there.
Kelsey's
so
not
slow.
Kelsey's not as fast as he used to be. Hey, do you want to kill yourself? Do you want to kill yourself?
Sure.
All right, here's an exchange that Travis Kelce had with a Kansas City reporter after the game. Try not to drive off the road or jump off a bridge when you hear this, because as you guys might know, Travis Kelce, guess what? He's dating Taylor Swift, and there's a very popular song that this is a reference to. Travis Kelce after the game.
You feel like you're 25 again?
22, baby, 22.
Xavier Worthy.
He's 22 again.
He's 22 again.
I don't know about you, but I'm feeling 22. Everything will be all right if I'm standing next to you. You don't know about me. I'm going to make you pee. The Texans pee their pants in Kansas City. Damn, I'm a great singer. You can't say you're the better team and lose. You just can't do that. I've seen people doing the discourse today because the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson discourse is out there. And look, Lamar Jackson had a great final drive, and Mark Andrews lost the Ravens that game. But Lamar Jackson had a horrible fumble after saying that I'm not like Teddy Two Gloves, and on top of that, he had an interception. You can't say that Lamar Jackson outplayed Patrick Mahomes this week when Lamar Jackson once again could be winning an MVP and out in the second round of the playoffs. Like, you just can't do it. And if you lose, you got to tip your hat. Miss me with this, we are the better team stuff. Well, and I love Will Anderson, and he played his ass off in this game. He had a great game. See that one-handed tackle he had in the red zone?
That was incredible.
That roughing call on him, I thought, was shaky. Mahomes, who flopped on that play, too. You watch the replay again. His head moved in a way that was definitely not from Anderson bumping into him. Sure, there was helmet to helmet. Mahomes still flopped there. Well, Anderson played a great game, but stop. Do not say you are the better team when you lost. It is loser talk to say that. It's much more loser talk to say that than to bitch about the refs, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the idea that you're this better team and you're going home in the divisional round again, and then I think to double down like Will Anderson did today, where he said they're right there, we're a fantastic team, when he met with the media in the locker room today. It's just, fantastic is not a word I would use to describe the Houston Texans after this performance. I don't know why he would use that word. You've lost in the divisional round 2 years in a row. You've done nothing to show significant improvement from your first year to your second year as a football team. Now, like Anderson specifically, he's a fantastic player. It's of all the players and people you can blame for this loss, he is nowhere near on that list.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm with you. It is loser talk to be talking about being the better team, especially when I think they were. For part of the game, they were a better football team, but the end result tells you they're not the better team.
What you're saying, yes, there were moments where you're like, oh, wow.
Yeah. It's like they looked like they were going to win this game, it felt like, at one point, but by the end result, they shot themselves in the foot, as they always do, proving thus they're not a better team than the Kansas City Chiefs because you lost.
I do understand what you're saying. I can't. And I want to co-sign it because there were moments where the defense looked like they were completely unsolvable for the Chiefs, but they figured it out. And guess what? The Chiefs also figured out the Texans' offensive line. The protection wasn't awful the first two quarters or so. I mean, there were some bad sacks, but fourth quarter, holy crap. Steve Spagnuolo figured out what the Texans were doing.
Unraveled.
Mm-hmm. He's Joe. I'm Paul. It's Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Let's just run right through it, okay? As we always do. Sometimes we miss commercial breaks and we just give you a super long segment because you know what? We care about you. We have not talked about the refs until now. Joe George, your thoughts on the referees in yesterday's game. Excuse me, Saturday's game.
Oh, they were bad. They were bad. The Mahomes, and I know that Walt Anderson, the head of officiating, went on the NFL Network and told you that they were that these, you know, the roughing the passer on Will Anderson and then the slide roughing the passer or whatever illegal contact, whatever it's called, were both the correct decisions. They're both bad calls. And if neither one of them were called, Walt Anderson would be going on television today and telling you that they were the right non-calls as well. Justin Reed, as was pointed out in the chat or on the text line, was definitely offsides on one of the Texans' field goals. They were bad. They were bad in this game. They were not good officials. They missed things that, to me, were very obvious. And when you have rules analysts that are coming on television and telling you, guys who are paid to evaluate referees and be neutral parties, unlike guys like Walt Anderson, and they're all telling you that these are the wrong calls, the referees were bad. But it's not why they lost.
I agree. You're allowed to be pissed about the refs. You can say NFL rigged all you want, and I'm not going to push back too hard on you, but don't tell me that's the reason the Texans lost. The Texans lost because of themselves. They did not lose because of the referees in this game. 8 penalties for 82 yards. Sure, maybe some of them dubious. But we're talking about a roughing the passer call early on Will Anderson that led to the Chiefs kicking a field goal. And we're talking about another roughing the passer call while Patrick Mahomes was sliding on what was a first or it would have been a second down and like six after that.
I think so, yeah.
Right. So, look, those two are egregious. We'll play later on in the show Troy Aikman rightly calling it out. And hell, Russell Yerk, the guy who's the rules analyst on ESPN, those guys always Bobo and stooge for the referees. I got to give that guy a lot of credit. He called the referees out too. Walt Anderson, after the game, saying it's the right call. I have a lot of respect for Walt Anderson because he called the tuck rule.
Oh, okay.
Like he's responsible for joy in my life when I was just a 12-year-old who was very, you know, going through a lot of trouble at the time. You know, my dad had cancer. My parents had just gotten divorced. So the Patriots winning a Super Bowl, the 0-1-0-2 season, even if it took a little cheating by the referee. I mean, even if it took a great call with Tom Brady's arm clearly going forward, I have appreciation for him. But, I mean, that's the guy who's stooging here. Those calls were awful. Those calls were absolutely awful. But that's not what I'm angry about. What I'm angry about is that Patrick Mahomes can look at himself in the mirror after this game and say to himself, yeah, that's fine. How do you do that? How do you go and flop on national TV and think to yourself, yeah, that's okay. That's fine. That, to me, bothers me. And he's not the only one that does it. I know a lot of Chiefs fans who listen are like, Josh Allen does it. Yes, Josh Allen flops a lot too. Okay? Keeping it fair and balanced here. There's a lot of quarterbacks who flop. NFL rules have lent themselves to quarterbacks getting smart, wanting to do anything they can to win a playoff game, and doing that stuff. Mahomes and that flop that thankfully the referees did not call when the Chiefs were in the red zone. That, to me, was unmanly. And I'm worried for our nation's youth because they see that and they want to do it. The first hit with Will Anderson where Mahomes' head goes back. I'm nervous for our children. Our children see Patrick Mahomes and they're going to do the same stuff. Flop their way through life. You can't flop your way through life. You can't. You got to go through adversity sometimes. Sometimes you got to take it on the chin. You can't, when you take it on the chin, flop and then call Tony Busby to sue. You can't do that. I have a challenge for people online on my Twitter because last night when I was on Sports Extra on KHOU, I flopped and then I said I was going to sue, using Tony Busby, the person that was sitting to my right, because that's the energy that Patrick Mahomes carries with him in the midst of football games. And other quarterbacks do it. No one is worse than him. Dude, you have all these gifts. You have incredible mobility. You can make just about any throw, like that throw he made while he was falling and hits Travis Kelce in the end zone. You don't need to do this too. And if you have any honor or integrity, you'd stop doing it because it's wrong. It is morally wrong. I get to do whatever you need to do to win. Stealing signs, I'm okay with that. I am. My team cares about me. But you do this unmanly BS to me, I think less of you as a man. I think if any of us played a pickup basketball game or a flag football game or any kind of sport and someone that's playing with you does something like that, you would call him the P word.
Mm-hmm.
You would call him that to his face. And I think anyone on that field should have done the same thing. And you know what my biggest frustration is after this game in terms of the reporting that was done? It's not that no one found that Will Anderson clip of him saying we were the better team. It's that no one in Houston media went to the Chiefs press conference to ask Patrick Mahomes the following question. Why do you flop? Or how do you live with yourself at night? But again, he just had his third kid. So that's rough. It's going to be rough for him. I suppose that's the karmic justice he's going to get is a crying baby, crying golden ray over the next couple of days. But why do you flop? Because he flopped.
Yes. The one, I really thought they were going to call a penalty on Toto when he flopped out of bounds like that. And honestly, it looked like the referee was reaching for it. It's just sad. And the NFL has to fix this stuff. Like, ESPN got to pump themselves up a couple hours ago and tell us that the most watched game ever on ESPN was Texans-Chiefs. 32.7 million viewers based on Nielsen for this weekend. Congratulations. So that means 32.7 million people watched two terrible calls and a pathetic flop. The NFL has to intervene.
You'd hope it would
now.
Because, you know, if a three-time Super Bowl winner in Troy Aikman is calling it out in the middle of the game and feels very comfortable doing it, like everyone else is seeing it. And I would say 31 fan bases of the NFL are sick of this. They're just sick of this. You can be sick of the Chiefs keep on winning. But this on top of the Chiefs winning, it's unbecoming. And, you know, this is one of the reasons I do not like basketball the same way I used to, because guys like James Harden, who I never liked while he was here, never liked him because I did not like the way that he played. I felt it was dishonorable. Guys like Trae Young. There's a player on every single team in the NBA that does this stuff on a game-to-game basis. And I just don't see how, like, when this is on camera, how you as a man can do that. Women's basketball players, they don't do this. Women's soccer player, they don't do this. Like this is for men's soccer, which this country will never recognize, and men's basketball. And that's what Mahomes is doing all of a sudden. Got a text. This is from the 713. I don't want to hear the gloating. I had enough with Dell's show. Bet you're happy the Texans lost. I mean, talk about the P word. Sir, like, we are pissed that they lost. We're pissed.
Yeah.
We're
gloating.
Where is their gloating? I don't understand that. I really don't. Like, we thought this would happen. Still sucks that it happened because it kind of sucks you in the middle of that game, making you think that there was a shot. Anyway, he's Joe and Paul. We got Sean behind the glass. You want to chime in on this, 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join on Twitch at ESPN 975. You'll hear what Texans players and coaches had to say about the referees after the game next. Stay put.
ESPN 975.
You are back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Mahomes dropped it. Able to get it and take off to his right. And then slide down. They're going to throw a flag on that.
That one. You know, I hope that the league looks at that and at least makes unnecessary roughness / roughing the passer calls reviewable or challengeable. They probably won't, but that is the Trevor Lawrence slide to another degree. Lawrence did slide a little late. What Aziz Alshayer did was unnecessary roughness.
Wrong. Disagree. Change my mind.
That changed your mind
right
there?
This is why Aziz was right. This is why he's right. This is why hit the quarterback. Like, if they're going to get away with this crap, then, kill them.
You sound like caller JG.
Yeah, but, like, I'm over it. Like, if this is why Aziz was right to do what he did. Because if they're going to call a penalty on that, where the main contact was between two Texans players' helmets, then you might as well just crush the guy.
And I don't know what a defender is supposed to do there. When the guy's dropping to the ground, like, it's not the Matrix. And referees, more than anyone, should know that it's very difficult to start forward momentum. And as you said, yeah, they hit each other. Did they actually hit Mahomes? They did. But they hit each other much more. And Mahomes just sat down in the middle of that play. And that's why that happened. That penalty right there. It's because of Mahomes sitting down. And because the refs, yeah, they're going to look at players like Mahomes and they're going to give him preferential treatment. I saw a texter earlier. This is from the 409. Good old POS, Thomas Brady, started the whole flopping BS. And also, why doesn't anyone from the Texans call out that BS officiating in their after-game press conference other than to find it needs to be called out? Well, on that note, here is every single Texan player and coach calling out the referees after the game. Don't worry, it was called out.
Everybody know how it is playing up here. You can never leave it into the ref's hands, but, I mean, the whole world see, man, like, what it is, bro. But it is what it is.
We knew it was going to be us against the refs going into this game. And, you know, I talked to you guys early this week. And I was just saying, like, man, like, we got to go out there and we got to do us better.
We knew going into this game, man, it was us versus everybody. Right? When I say everybody, is everybody, all of whatever, everybody, the naysayers, the doubt, right? Everybody.
Yeah, you know, those things are tough. You know, I'm not going to go back and forth on what I thought was a call, what I thought wasn't a call, you know, and one of those things, you kind of know what's up before you even walk in the arena. Definitely some things that I would question, but at the same time, they're the professionals, they're getting paid to be refs, and, you know, they did ultimately their best. And, yeah, but, you know, it's kind of thing, you know, it's us against the world, you know, when you're playing in these type of environments and games.
I think it's important to note they responded to the questions that were asked. All of them were about the officiating, and they answered pointedly. I respect their honesty. I think it's also important to clarify that they did not say this was the reason that the Chiefs won this game. Will Anderson might have said they were the better team, but he did not say this is the reason that the Chiefs won. I think that's getting lost online because people don't want to go watch the full press conferences and get context. I understand why that's the case. It's easy to throw these out there. It is a little annoying to see the amount of people from Kansas City media who are saying that specifically is something you can't complain about. No, you can complain about the referees 100%. After this one, I think you should, because this is a problem for the league. It's a problem for watching these games. It makes the games less fun to watch, and this isn't like a fun flag or a fun bad call. In a game like this, all the bad calls, you're going to remember them for a very long time. So you are allowed to bitch about it. You just can't tell me this is the main reason they lost. That's the only thing I'm asking of you guys. It's a secondary reason for sure. It definitely had an outcome and an impact on the game. This is not the main reason they lost.
No, I mean, it's you know, after the first penalty on Will Anderson, they gave up a huge pass play to Travis Kelce the very next play.
Yeah, you got to shake these plays off. Sorry to quote Taylor Swift again, and move on to the next one. And you can't think to yourself, oh, the world's out to get us. But they knew going into this game that that was going to be the case, and you can't allow eight sacks. You can't have many special teams gapped, missed field goal, blocked field goal, missed extra point, 75-yard kick return.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't do all of those things. If you know that this is something you're going to have to also combat, you have to keep that in mind.
Yeah, I mean, even like on the second slide, you know, they got the Chiefs into a 4th-and-3, and they had contact with whether it was Kareem Hunt or Samaje Perine in the backfield to stop him, and then he broke out of it and got the first down. Mm-hmm. So even though the referees made bad calls, the Texans themselves had opportunities. And hell, look, after the first one on Will Anderson, they stopped. It's not like the Chiefs scored a touchdown. They held them to a field goal. So they responded in a positive way there. I do think the larger discourse is mostly fans, and I feel like that's what I'm kind of annoyed with more.
The conspiracy theories?
Yeah, the conspiracy theories. It's all on the refs.
Look, they
it's
have
the reason why they lost. It's not the reason why they lost. It sure as hell didn't help.
There is a vested interest in having the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, but I'm not going to go so far as to say there's a conspiracy to get the Chiefs to the Super Bowl that we saw on full display there. They certainly favor the Chiefs in certain elements, but the Texans also made a lot of mistakes in this game, you know? And I think sometimes we take a look at the two big ones like that, and you get pissed off because of how, because of what BS they were. And they were BS. Do not get it twisted. I'm not telling you that those calls were good. They were horrible, horrible calls, and Mahomes should be ashamed of himself. Really should be. But it's not the biggest reason that they lost. I'm glad none of the players said that that was the biggest reason that they lost. And it was a little frustrating seeing a Kansas City Chiefs player after the game basically saying, hey, I remember when back in the day when you lost, you took it on the chin like a man. Referring to all the Texans players talking about the referees. Sir, let me present to you Patrick Mahomes, a two-act play after his idiot receiver. What's his name? What was that wide receiver for the Chiefs that did not know to talk to the referees on the side of the field? Something you learned in effing high school?
Kadarius Toney?
Yeah. Kadarius Toney, of course. I knew it was the dumb one.
Either him or Mecole Hardman. Same guy.
You know what? Fair point. Same thing. Mecole had, he had his Jets phase. This is Patrick Mahomes after a game where wide receiver X or Y lined up offsides, which called back a play where Travis Kelce did something that was cool. This is him talking to Josh Allen right after the game, not congratulating him, whining.
Terrible. Worst call I've ever seen, man.
The worst call you've ever seen. The worst call you've ever seen, and he wasn't done. And listen to this excuse after the game was done. This is a regular season game. He should have been fined out his ass for it. He was.
To take the game into his hands over a call like that that doesn't affect the play at all, didn't affect anything. I mean, it's just tough, man. And like I said, man, that's a Hall of Fame tight end making a Hall of Fame play that won't be shown because we threw a flag on for offensive offsides. And so it takes away from not only this game and this season, but from a legendary career that Travis has had. And I mean, that hurts me because I know how hard he works for it.
Sean, have the dump button ready. Patrick, shut the fuck up. Shut up. Just shut up. Like,
I forgot how much of a little crybaby you sounded like.
That's like some of the worst complaining I've ever seen. So, look, like, the Texans were upset about the refs. They never said that the refs were the reason that they lost that game. And I'm a little annoyed for the Texans. Even though I'm frustrated with the way that they played, I'm annoyed that they are being portrayed as having said that the refs lost them this game. They did not say that.
Yeah, look, and I don't love the open complaining. And I know they're asked about it, and they're just answering the question. And if they just gave a non-answer, we would probably, you know, people would find annoyances with that too. Really, the only one that I think actually, like the Will Anderson one, is the one where I just feel like he's the most complainy. Like, he complains the most when he talks about the referees there, about it being us versus them specifically.
He had the penalty, though, directly yes, against him, and he's asked about it. And, I mean, it's moments after the game's done.
100%.
I also think most of us in that situation would have been pissed off about it. Because that call, Mahomes moves his head to the right, and it was not affected by Will Anderson. Watch the replay. I'm right.
Yeah. No, and like, I know I saw like Mitchell Schwartz, the former left tackle for the Chiefs.
Yeah, he's the next Chief.
Talking, he quote tweeted one of the reporters about Will Anderson's comment. And he's like, well, if you knew it's you versus the refs going to the game, why don't you lower your target zone? Like, semi-fair point. But also, these guys all act like it's not a bang-bang play. And he still hit them fine.
He did, yeah.
Even if that is by law against the rules, it is a soft call. Like, yeah. He touches his helmet. I mean, CJ got smacked in the face later in the game. Preach. On a penalty, and they didn't call it. So, like, they pick and choose what is and what is not a call, and that's what's annoying about it. And again, it is not the reason why they lost. There's plenty of other reasons. But it's such a soft call to, yes, like, call those penalties. Like, you can call whatever you want. for the Trevor Lawrence play. But, like, for these plays to turn into 15-yard penalties, change them. Like, honestly, that's what they need to do. They're not going to get rid of this. They're not going to tell quarterbacks to stop sliding, even though every quarterback should grow a pair of balls and be like C.J. Stroud and drop their shoulder into a player.
I got to say, that like the thing I love the most about Stroud on Saturday was Stroud was putting his shoulders into people and juxtapositioned with Mahomes. I mean, I know who I think is more of a man coming out of that game.
Yes, but like they got to go 5 versus 15-yard penalties. They, at a minimum, there has to be a differentiator in roughing the passer and all these things of a 5-yard penalty versus a 15-yard penalty, at a minimum.
We got to get back to a point where we're not getting up and getting mad about unnecessary roughness after play. I actually caught myself while on the live stream. There was a play where Nico Collins got hit while he was down on the ground, and I almost jumped, and I was like, nope, I got to be consistent with who I am. But this is what the NFL has conditioned us to do, is to look for calls against our faves. He's Joe and Paul, Sean behind the glass. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You want to chime in on the Texans' season-ending loss to the Kansas City Chiefs on Saturday, 23-14? You can. 713-780-3776 to call to text again on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 97.5. Stay put. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975. Yeah, that was quite the push in Texans Chiefs on MyBookie.ag. That had to be pretty frustrating for everybody, right? You thought the Texans were going to get smoked, and then all of a sudden, at the very end of the game, the Chiefs are running out the back of the end zone for a safety. That cover, gone. Or maybe that bailed you out. But at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975. If you want to make games more fun for you, you can. Because you can gamble on them. Legally. Yes! Go to mybookie.ag. You enter the promo code BET975. You get an awesome deposit bonus. Or if you're already an existing customer, you get a reload bonus. Big game tonight. National championship. Joe George. Here he is. He's got his Notre Dame hat on. Cheer for old Notre Dame. I don't know the rest of the songs, but I do know more than Joe George knows of his own college's fight song. Notre Dame, 8.5-point dogs in the Natty. Tonight's for the Catholics, baby. I'm taking Notre Dame to cover, but not win. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with MyBookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5.